Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you this morning that we can worship you together in this place. We thank you for those that have led us in worship so far through prayer, through giving, through song. And now, Lord God, as we open your word, we pray that it would be a time of meaningful worship to each one of us as well. Heavenly Father, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place. We ask that you would speak into our lives this morning, that it wouldn't just be going through the motions again. It wouldn't just be showing up for another service. But that it would truly be a time of connecting with you this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. So as we get started, I just want to let you know how we're going to end. As the worship team was here this morning, they were working on a song, Do It Again. Is that right, the title of it? Do It Again. And it was interesting because I was in here for a good part of the time they were working on it, and they were struggling with it, I think it would be fair to say. And our worship team is awesome. They just keep on working away at it piece by piece by piece by piece, and they get it to a point. And as I'm listening to them go over this song, over and over again, piece by piece by piece, I can't help but realize how much it ties in with what we're talking about today. So I asked them, I said, let's pick the song that's the hardest one for you to do today, and let's do it twice. So we're going to do that song at the end of the service as well. We've already sung it once. We're singing it at the end of the service as well. And I tell you this because I want you to be thinking that what we're focusing on this morning is the idea of trust, trusting God. And I want you to be thinking as we're looking in Scripture, as we're talking about and hopefully seeing some stuff about the Scripture that we look at, I want you to be thinking about, is there something in your life that you need to trust God with today? Because as they come up and lead us in that closing song, they're going to sing through the first verse and the chorus, and I'm going to ask you at that point in time to be turning over to God through just quiet personal prayer, whatever it is that you need to be trusting God with today. Okay? So that's where we're going to end up at. It's not where we're starting. One thing that I know about trust is that as we live life as humans, trust is often a really, really hard thing for us to do. And it's hard because so many people betray us in life. So many people disappoint us in life. So many people tell us one thing, but something else takes place. I read in Reader's Digest, it was just a recent article of Reader's Digest, and it was a whole story of sub-stories, and they were all having to do with this idea of trust. And the titles of just some of these stories that they shared were things like this: I trusted my trainer, and he saved my life. I trusted my dog, and I'm still alive. I trusted God, and it paid off. I trusted a career coach, and now I have the job of my dreams. I trusted my doctor and my gut instincts, and it saved my son's life. I trusted my husband, and now our marriage is stronger than it has ever been. These are just some of the subtitles, and then there are stories that were shared with each one of these titles. So we absolutely can and do trust people throughout the course of life. But there's also this other thing that happens to us that makes it so it is difficult. Right? Somebody once said, never trust anybody who says, trust me. Right? Never trust anybody who says, the check's in the mail. Or I'll never tell anybody else. Or this sermon's going to be really short today. Don't trust them. Don't trust your dentist if he says it's just going to hurt a little. Don't trust them. The list goes on and on. These kinds of letdowns, when you discover the sermon isn't really short this morning, it keeps us from trusting. It creates an unkept promise that we see, and it creates distrust in our lives. Solomon tells us about the one person that we can trust all the time. And we know the answer to who that is. We're in church. We are Bible-believing Christians. That person is God. I want us to look today at what Solomon has to say about that person that we can trust all the time. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you're using the church Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, if you're using a church Bible, you're going to find that on page 450. And I encourage you to actually turn there so that you can read along with me from God's word this morning. So we're going to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to start right at verse 1. And we're going to go through verse 12. So starting at verse 1, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." And then this is where we're really getting in today, is verse 5 and on. It says, starting in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the God, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son, as a father, the son he delights in." The first thing I want us to see here as Solomon has talked to us or given us this passage is starting in verse 5 through 7, where it said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." First thing I want us to see is we need to put our trust in the right person, and that person is God. Golda Meir. Some of you might know the name. I did not know the name. She was elected Prime Minister of Israel on March 17, 1969. She was Israel's first and the world's third woman to hold such an office. She was often portrayed as a very strong-willed, straight-talking, gray-bunned grandmother of the Jewish people. Golda Meir was quoted as saying this, "Trust yourself," and it's going to be on the screen, "trust yourself, create the kind of self that you will be happy to live with all of your life. Make the most of yourself by fanning the tiny inner sparks of possibility into flames of achievement." At first look, this seems like a great quote, but honestly, I'm not sure that it's the most sound advice for us. I do believe that we all need a certain amount of self-confidence in life and passion to do things. But there's also a limit to how much we can actually trust ourselves as humans. The reason I say this is because of what God says in his word. Just listen as I read a couple verses from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, the Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." And then in Isaiah 55, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. It doesn't sound like we humans can be completely trusted. Just like we know not to always trust the people that say today's sermon is going to be short, we should also know from experience that we should not be so arrogant, I would say, as to always trust ourselves. Our human hearts, if we are being honest, because the sin that was brought into the world, our human hearts are deceitful. Sometimes we say one thing and we do something else. Sometimes our worship is just not sincere. Sometimes we do not think or do like God who created us. Consequently, we shouldn't put too much confidence or trust in ourselves. When we do, I think we're headed for trouble. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall." This happens in sports all the time, right? You see teams that are competing against each other, especially at, like, not the professional levels, but lower levels of sports. You see teams that are competing against each other, and one team is definitely a stronger team than the other team, and they know that they're a stronger team than the other team. And what do? They go into the game with arrogance. They go into the game knowing in their heads that this is going to be an easy win against their component. And what happens? They struggle. They struggle through the whole game just to keep up with their competitor. And they might pull out the win at the end, but they might not pull out the win at the end. This happens when we're arrogant in our thinking, when we think too much of ourselves. Rather than trusting ourselves too much, we need to put our trust in one who is greater, higher, and holier than anybody sitting in this room or watching online. Trust in the Lord, our passage says, with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. We are weak, but he is strong. We are ignorant in many ways, but he is all wise and he is all knowing. We often think wrong and do wrong, but he is holy and always does the right and the loving thing. We need to put our trust in God, is what our passage tells us. Many parents have probably experienced something in their life, if you've had young children a part of your journey, something like this. You might be at a swimming pool, and mom or dad, you hop into the pool first. And as you are getting out, all of a sudden, you hear your child say, "Catch me," and they just jump. You haven't even turned around to see where they are yet, but they've jumped towards you into the pool. You turn around and you happen to be able to catch them and you pull them up and you keep them out of the water. You see, the child is willing to do that because they have seen you care for them and love them up until that point. You've built trust with them up until that point. And then in that moment, the child believes wholeheartedly that they can trust you when they say, "Catch me," and just jump off the edge of the pool. They trust you completely. Likewise, we have a heavenly Father whom we can completely trust, and we should. D.L. Moody said this. Go ahead and put it on the screen. Trust in yourself starts out the same as our last quote. And you are doomed to disappointment. Changes a little bit there. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in reputation, and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God, and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. Trust in God. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." When we choose to trust in God, that is who we are trusting. We are trusting the rock eternal. The Lord, the rock eternal. So our trust needs to be in God first of all. Solomon goes on in verse 8 and tells us that the trust will bless your life, will bless our lives when we trust in God. In verse 8 it says, "This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? I've heard a number of people, aging people, say that aging isn't for wimps, right? It can be really difficult. I believe it. In fact, even in my current years of 24, I sometimes feel a little bit of aches and pains from time to time. Aging has been referred to as the golden years as you get there. But some people feel like it's very far from the golden years, because of the aches and pains and the disease and all that other stuff, lack of energy that can be a part of that process. Does this verse promise good health to those who trust in the Lord? Yes, but no. Not totally. But in some ways, absolutely. And here's what I mean. Anytime we put our trust in the Lord, we do right, live right, and try to live a healthy lifestyle, we will be blessed with a better life. I believe it absolutely, which includes health. Maybe not perfect health, but decent health. And decent health or good health is a blessing from our God. And look, we have to remember as human beings that we're all on one journey that is very similar. It's a journey to the end, right? Hopefully we all understand that as we came in here today. That we're all on this journey to the end of our earthly lives together. And as a part of that reality, there's going to be aches and pains and all those kind of things that come along with that. I know many people, my senior, who say, "I don't have any pain at all." Wow, if that's you, praise the Lord. If it's not you, we still need to praise the Lord. As people live life, many folks experience health challenges and pains and mental illnesses and disease. We still need to praise the Lord for the health that we do have. Most people, most of the time, can still function in this world that we live in. No matter what, we praise the Lord and continue to put our trust in Him. But listen, we know that this life that we're in today is not all there is to life. A much better life is coming. That's what the hope is that we have through the Word of God. And a better body is coming as a part of that better life to all who believe in Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 tells us, But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. No matter how good your health is today, you will even be better in eternity. No matter how challenging your health is today, you will be better in eternity. You'll get a heavenly body, our passage tells us, that will never wear out, nor will you ever tire. This is a promise from Scripture. Remember our passage? This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones, it said in verse 8. What is the word "this" at the very beginning of that referring to? This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. The "this" is referring to us putting our trust in God. Putting our trust in the Lord is the best way for us to live. Putting our trust in Him may well bless us with better health today, but it will bless us with perfect health in eternity. I want you to listen to what Timothy says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Living a godly life by trusting the Lord will benefit us spiritually more than anything else. This physical life is coming to an end, and many of us will end up looking forward to that day if we're not already, just because of the whole physical body thing that we're promised in Scripture. An eternal life is going to be a whole new start for each one of us. In the remaining verses of our passage from Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon tells us to show evidence of our trust. To show evidence of our trust. He says, starting in verse 9, he says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." Honor the Lord with your wealth. That means to give back a portion of our blessings to God. That is what we do on Sunday mornings, as Randy stood up here and thanked you this morning for supporting ministry. It's honoring God with our wealth. Solomon also says, don't despise the Lord if he disciplines you for your own good. Both of these thoughts tell me that we must show evidence in our life that we are trusting God. The proof of our faith, what is it? The proof of our faith or our trust in the Lord, it should be seen in our deeds, how we live, and how we take hardship in life. I read a long time ago, and I may have even shared this with you before. I don't know, but it just ties in with what we're talking about here today. I read about a preacher that announced from the pulpit one Sunday morning that I have good news and bad news, and the good news is we have enough money to retire our mortgage on the church. And there's a sigh of relief that went through the congregation, it says. And the preacher continued, he said, "The bad news is the money's in all of our pockets still." Our giving shows how much we trust in our Lord. When people don't give back to God, what does this say about their faith in God? It may well say that they don't trust God like they should. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." I don't know if you noticed this, But what's the result of our giving? He supplies for our needs. That's what it says in the passage. When we give, God meets our needs. Giving back to God is evidence that we trust him to provide for us. The evidence of our faith and trust is also that we take difficulties, that we take hardships in life, regardless of why they come and how they come to us. I am certain that we all feel like we have walked through hardships in our lives. Even hardships that we feel we did not deserve to have to walk through. Hardships that we feel, I didn't sign up for this. We've walked through them. How we walk through them is evidence of our trust in God. I don't know if you ever heard of Joni Eckertson. She is an incredibly faithful lady, committed to the Lord and devout, and yet she is a quadriplegic. Joni was born in 1949 in Baltimore, Maryland, the youngest of four daughters. As a teenager, she was always enjoying riding horses and hiking and tennis and swimming. On July 30th, 1967, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay after misjudging the shallowness of the water. She suffered a fracture between the fourth and fifth cervical levels and became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. Joni founded Joni and Friends in 1979, an organization for Christian ministry in the disabled community throughout the world. In 2006, the Joni and Friends International Disability Center in California was established. Led by Joni and Doug Maraz, the Joni and Friends International Disability Center has helped literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people. All because Joni faced tragedy and faced it with faith and trust in God that he was going to do something still. Joni Eckertson's life is evidence of her trust in the Lord in spite of her great physical hardships, in spite of the disappointment, in spite of the tragedy she faced that she may or may not feel like she deserved to face, right? What about you? What about your life? What does your life say when you go through hard times? What is your response? What do your actions say? Perhaps when the Lord disciplines you. Corrie Ten Boom, many of you know, Christian Holocaust survivor who helped many Jews escape the Nazis. And she said it well, I think, when she said this. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. What is it in your life that you need to trust God with today? I started us out by saying we're going to have time to quietly spend with God. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. They're going to just sing through the first verse and the chorus once, and then we're all going to join in and sing as well. But as they're singing, I encourage you just quietly where you are to just pray and offer to God whatever it is that you need to trust him with today. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. In these next moments, will you trust the Lord with something in your life?